Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
In Luke chapter 2, we read the story of what happened that night when Jesus was born. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. This is God's word. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors.' When the angel had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, if I was Mary, I would certainly expect that in return for carrying and birthing the Son of the Almighty, there would be some sort of forethought as to where I'm supposed to do this thing. And I would not have been happy at all to find out that just at the end of the pregnancy, when I'm having to bend back to walk, I'm going to have to travel all the way to Bethlehem. That is inconvenient, and this is just not the right time for it. But it was. It was exactly the right time. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. It was just the right moment. So they travel. Because God had said, as we sang this morning, God had given a promise that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. Well, how do you arrange that if the couple who are going to be raising the child live in Nazareth. God used a pagan king all the way across the Mediterranean in Rome to issue a decree that everybody needs to go and register for the tax. And so they're all ordered to go back to where they're from so that we can account for everyone, be sure we have everybody properly. It's like no voter fraud. These people had to go back to where they're from. And so they've all got to travel. I mean, is that really the most efficient way you could do it? It was God's way. God used a pagan king to rearrange everybody in order to have the Messiah born exactly where God had said the Messiah was going to be born. Now, there were tons of other people who were inconvenienced by this trip. There were lots of people having to go here and go there, and they saw no point in it. They just had to make a trip, and they didn't know why. And let me just tell you, there will be many things in your life that will seem to make no sense, but they're part of a larger plan. And you and I don't have to understand what he's up to. Mary and Joseph didn't necessarily understand, but there were all sorts of people traveling at that time of year in order to make sure that God's promise was kept. And God can use foreign governments, evil pagan rulers, oppressive armies, all kinds of forces in order to accomplish his plan. Don't forget it.
Hi, this is Jim Wood with Abiding in Christ. I actually enjoy buying gifts for my wife and children, and that's good because I've got 7 children. I give gifts to my 8 grandchildren and to my staff as well. And at this time of year, I make some special gifts to several ministries that I believe are doing a good job sharing the gospel. Well, I'd be grateful if you would make a special year-end gift to Abiding in Christ like I do. Use the mail, give online if you'd like at pastorwood.org, or call 866-41-ABIDE. But please, let us hear from you before the year is out. Thanks so much.
So, Mary, moved by God, ends up in Bethlehem, and there is no room available. No guest room. No room at the inn. That's just not acceptable, is it? I mean, really. This would be one of those moments where I'd be having a talk with God and saying, look, I don't know where the room is, but I know you've got a room for me. Okay? Because after all, I'm your child. Right? His child was on the way to the cross. His child was going to end up nailed to a cross for us. And Jesus said, if anybody wants to be my disciple, he's got to take up his cross and follow me. Don't think that you are so precious to God that he would never let you suffer. You are more precious to him than you know. But suffering is part of the equation. And if you and I are ever going to know him, we will know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, even being made conformable to his death. So, they're there. There's no room. And somebody suggests that they can use the stable, the cave, the barn, whatever it was where the animals were, that's where they got to go. and now it's time to give birth. She was a virgin. She'd certainly never had a baby. She'd never even had relations with a man. And now she's going to give birth in a stable. Poor Joseph. I mean, imagine. I feel badly for both of these folks, okay? She's got to be feeling fearful. And Joseph is thinking, I don't know nothing about birthing no babies. Okay? I mean, I have never done this before. I can't, this is not God. How are we going to get through this? But there in the stable, in the night, Mary gave birth. And she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him the only place available. In a feed trough, the manger, the cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Yeah, I bet. I've always kind of despised the words to that song. Just that line, okay? I think we ought to sing it, the cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes, and being a baby, some crying he makes. Jesus wasn't born a robot. He was born a baby. What do babies do? They cry. They cry. That's what they do, and it's okay. But we don't want our kids to cry, and so we tell them, Jesus wouldn't cry. Yes, he would. Yes, he did. Jesus wept as an adult. He was born. He's wrapped tightly in cloths. He's laid in a manger. But that's not the end of the story. God sent an angel to announce the birth to the most unlikely recipients. If you want to have credible witnesses, some commentators suggest that the word of a shepherd was not even considered valid in court. I don't know that that's true, but it makes for a good sermon point. Clearly, they were not the highest people on the ladder socially, okay? And God says, let's tell them. These guys are out there. They're watching over their flocks at night. It doesn't say they're out there sleeping. They are awake. They're watching over the flock. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appears. And when the angel shows up, the glory of the Lord shone around them. This is a supernatural manifestation of brilliant light that is the glory of the Lord. And they were terrified. Let me tell you something. A lot of the time, when God manifests his glory, it's scary. There was a pastor and theologian in South Africa who said he prayed for years that God would send revival to his country. And he said, and when God did, I became the leader of the opposition to the revival. Because it didn't come the way I expected. Now that's worth noting. A lot of times when God's glory is manifested, when God begins to do something supernatural, if it doesn't fit with our expectations, we are not in favor. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Says who? We're not in charge. God will never contradict himself. He'll never lie. He'll never fail to keep his promises, but he will often fail to meet our expectations that are based on our flesh and not on his word. And so, when the angels showed up and the glory of the Lord shone around them, they were terrified. But the angel said to them what angels typically say first thing. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now that's actually a wonderful thing. Angels are awesome. They are powerful beings. One angel killed 185,000 soldiers in one night. Do you think if an angel walked in those doors right now, we might be a little intimidated? Okay? I mean, angels are awesome. And the first thing out of an angel's mouth most all the time in Scripture is, don't be afraid. Because the typical response in Scripture when people encounter an angel is, they're terrified. Makes sense. This angel says, don't be afraid. But it's not just don't be afraid, I'm not going to hurt you. It's don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. Please understand this. God brings good news. But sadly, not everybody gets the message. And those who do get the message are given the responsibility to go and share this with others. But it begins by experiencing personally what God has said in his word. The shepherds, when they heard this, didn't say, well, that was good. Now, we've got to get back to watching over the flock. They said, we need to go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They believed God's word. But then because they believed God's word, they went to experience this for themselves. Folks, that's what happens if you really believe God's word. You say, I want to be all in. Okay? I'm going to be a part of this. There are a lot of people who come to church over and over and over and over, over and over and over and over, over and over and over and over. They may go to conferences, they may go to Bible studies, and they're getting more information. But when it comes to transformation, when it comes to their life being changed, to their behavior being changed, nah, they're just going to keep on doing what they were doing before they got the Word of God. I just want to ask you, honestly, how have you responded to what God has spoken? How have you responded to what you believe is true? Are you acting on it? When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They hurried off. They were eager and quick to do what God had shown them. They hurried off and they found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. Now, if you were Mary and you'd had to make this trip and there was no place for you to stay, would it be a wonderful gift from God to have these shepherds show up and tell you that they had just been visited by angels? The last time Mary had seen an angel was before she got pregnant. Been the better part of a year. And she knows she saw an angel. And she knows what the angel said. And she knows that it came true in a miraculous way, and that there is no human father for this baby. But how wonderful to now find that the angels have appeared to somebody else and that they got the same message about this child. Yes, this is the Messiah. This isn't just a fluke. It isn't some odd occurrence. This is the miracle that history was waiting for. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them, but Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. Their proclamation of the word they had received from God ministered to the mother of Jesus. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Everything is just as God says. That's one of the delightful things about archaeology. The more they dig, the more they confirm the scriptures. My brother has spent a lot of time in Israel. My brother's a scholar. He's a brilliant guy. He's a Presbyterian. And I sat Cedar Springs Presbyterian Church hearing another tremendous sermon from him after he'd returned from Israel a number of years ago. And he said, I've just got to tell you the truth. He said, they have recently uncovered the mikvaim there on the Temple Mount as you head up toward where the temple was. He said, here are all these baptismal pools where people were baptized by immersion all the time. He said, I stood there in dismay looking at it. He said, a Mennonite who was in the group with me said, well, what are you thinking? A penny for your thoughts. John said, you don't have enough money for my thoughts. He said, I'm standing here thinking about all the arguments I thought I had won because I told people that there was no way you could have baptized 3,000 people by immersion on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem because there wouldn't have been enough water to immerse 3,000 people. And he said, now I'm looking at this and realizing every day when people went up to the temple, there were a lot more than 3,000 baptized day in, day out. I love biblical archaeology because it turns out it's just as it's written. It's just as God says. God will move people all over the region in order to keep his promise that the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. God always does what he says. And what does he say? He says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, God's word is true. Repent and believe the good news.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.